This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
And off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown!
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Logue.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Logue.
And welcome in to the Fantasy Lowdown. We're entering week number 3 of the NFL season, and this is week number 2 of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My thanks to John Rook. Let me sit in for those last couple minutes and get you set for this edition of the show. We've got another great guest coming up. We had Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com last week, and Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports is going to join us. And if you are a fantasy football freak like I am, and I'm sure most of you are, you hit up all different kinds of websites that give you rankings each week and some great articles and waiver wire pickups. I check these sites out a lot as well, and I'm happy to have some of the prime experts on fantasy football join us each week. So Jamie will join us in about 15 minutes or so, and we'll get his insight on a few different topics, but mostly we want to get your insight on your topics of note. We've got a few emails already into the inbox, webradio@patriots.com, and we want more. Like I said last week when I was talking about what we're trying to accomplish on this show, it's all about you. It's about you telling us your thoughts on some of the fantasy football storylines, but asking your questions and looking for input on who do you start, who do you sit, and venting if you want. Last week, one of the big topics was, hey, Tom Brady. Who didn't have a league where Tom Brady was a first-round pick, and then all of a sudden, just, six, seven, 8 minutes into the season, without having thrown a single touchdown pass, he's done for the year, and that shattered many a fantasy football dream. Well, maybe this week you have DeSean Jackson, and the yardage on that long would-be touchdown play certainly counts, but if you have DeSean Jackson and you were sitting there at around 10 o'clock Eastern on Monday night during that fascinating Dallas-Philadelphia game, and you see DeSean Jackson, the rookie for Philadelphia, haul in a Donovan McNabb deep ball and take it all the way to the house and celebrate a touchdown, and everybody's jumping on the Eagles bandwagon right there, and then all of a sudden, oh, bring it back. It was ruled down because he, in a boneheaded play, he dropped the football and let go of the football before he hit the goal line. So if you have DeSean Jackson, you weren't feeling too good at that point. If you have Brian Westbrook, on the other hand, and one or two plays later, he scores, you're feeling pretty good. So rant about DeSean Jackson, if that's what you'd like to do. We'll talk, of course, as we always try to do, about the Patriots and about the most recent Patriots game from a fantasy football perspective and the upcoming game from a fantasy football perspective. We'll talk about some of the storylines that we talked about last week, a week later, and certainly last week it was all about the quarterbacks, a quartet of quarterbacks who were filling in for injured guys and were jumping into their teams, and we wanted to know what their fantasy impact would be. And now, after one game of a sample size, we can discuss that and see which ones going forward will be the best ones. One of them, Damon Heward, is already out of the starting job. So we'll eliminate him, and we'll talk about Tyler Thigpen. Is there any chance that a no-name like Tyler Thigpen on a fairly lousy team overall, Kansas City, can be a fantasy player this week? So we're going to check in. We're going to get your emails and talk to you as well. Let's start out touching on the Patriots. What'd you think of Matt Castle last week? Did you expect more out of him? Did you expect touchdowns? Did you expect yardage? If you did, maybe you were disappointed. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. He didn't throw for a ton of yardage. I think some of that's going to change this week. And if I had Wes Welker on my team, I'd be very, very excited about what Wes Welker might do. Do I think Randy Moss is going to have a big game? Yeah, I think he's going to have more catches than he did last week, and maybe he'll score. But I think this is a Wes Welker type of game. I think he can be that outlet guy for Castle. And I think whether receptions are a big scoring point in your league, touchdowns obviously are, and yardage, I think all three of those are going to be big for Wes Welker. Is there a chance that Benjamin Watson plays this week? He's not on the injury report. He's been out of practice. And if he does, can he immediately step in and be a fantasy impact player at tight end? We talked last week with Greg Rosenthal about how there is a lot of tight ends out there in the NFL who have great fantasy value right now, some that we would come to expect, others, you know, like a Dante Rosario and a John Carlson, who have kind of come out of nowhere, either as rookies or young guys. Anthony Fasano is another one who have had, at least shown signs in these first couple weeks of the season that they could be fantasy impact players at tight end. Can Benjamin Watson step back into that role? He's never been your consistent producer, both when you talk about his impact to the Patriots and in a fantasy perspective, but he can score touchdowns. And if he does play, I think this also could be a week where Benjamin Watson, maybe even David Thomas, find the end zone, and that could be interesting for them. I think maybe Matt Cassel will have a better week than he did last week as far as fantasy football goes, and I want to know what you think as well. Before we do get to Jamie Eisenberg in just a bit, we're going to jump right into to a few emails and some questions that people have, starting with Paul in London. I'm in an 8-team keeper league that has started this year, and this is my team for next week. Here's what he's got. QB, Jay Cutler. Love that. Running backs, Brandon Jacobs and Chris Johnson. Some inconsistency with Jacobs, but boy, Johnson, the Tennessee rookie running back, has certainly shown flashes. Wide receiver, Randy Moss and Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think you can go wrong. Put it this way, I don't think you can bench either one of them. Moss against the Dolphins for sure. And Fitzgerald, after what he did last week, I think is definitely a strong play. Once again, in Arizona going up against Washington. I think he can produce again. Flex position, Wes Welker. I mentioned just a minute ago what I think of Wes Welker this week, and I definitely would start him. Tight end Jeremy Shockey. You know, he's one of the better guys. You've got to start him. And I'll get to Paul's bench, but he doesn't have a tight end on the bench. Kicker Steven Gostkowski. Wow, what fantasy impact he had last week. If only kickoffs could count as well. Hey, maybe you're in a league where they do. I don't know, but 4 field goals, not too bad. Defense special team is Seattle. Seattle has been extremely shaky so far, but what do you think? Is that going to change this week? I think there's a pretty good chance that it does change this week. Why? They're hosting the woeful St. Louis Rams. If you have the Seattle Seahawks, and you're probably going to want to start them. If they can't get the job done this week, cut the Seattle Seahawks defense and special teams. Don't even worry about them. If they can't get the job done hosting St. Louis, don't worry about it. Now, on this guy's bench, this is Paul in London. Tom Brady, we all know you're not going to start him, but he did say he's in a keeper league, so I understand having Brady still on your bench. Brett Favre, don't like his chances this week against San Diego. I don't think he's going to do much. San Diego's desperate. Marvin Harrison, not a big fan of him fantasy-wise so far this year. Felix Jones, love him for a keeper league. Not sure about this week. Darren McFadden has an injury. We definitely want to get some insight from Jamie Eisenberg soon on Darren McFadden, some other injuries around the league. And then Darren Sproles. Wow, what intrigue there is for Darren Sproles, especially if LaDainian Tomlinson does have some injury issues. But overall, Paul, the only thing I might consider making a change at would be Darren Sproles, finding a spot for him. But where are you going to put him? You're not going to bench Chris Johnson or Brandon Jacobs, I don't think. And Moss and Welker, I think, have to be in there. You know, Fitzgerald, if you're thinking that maybe Fitzgerald at Washington, maybe won't have two consecutive big weeks, you know, maybe you make Moss and Welker your two wideouts and put Sproles in there. But to me, I think that a guy like Darren Sproles, yeah, you'll kick yourself if you keep him on your bench and he has another big week. But I think it's hard to expect two big weeks in a row from Darren Sproles unless you know for sure that LaDainian Tomlinson is not going to play this week. And I don't know about that. Now, Paul goes on to write, I would like McFadden in the team this week, but I can't bring myself to drop either running back or Moss, as I think Welker is a lock with Cassel playing. Moss, if it wasn't against the Dolphins with a big chance of some long bombs, hopefully I would consider dropping to the bench. I happen to agree on all of the above. I think you keep Moss. I think you keep Welker, and I think McFadden, stays on your bench for this week. That's what I would say right there, Paul from London. If you think anything differently as you monitor some of the injuries over the course of this week, feel free to make changes. I'd love for you to run them by me, but you don't have to. I'm only on one hour a week, so I appreciate you checking in on that. And I wish you luck. I think you got a strong team. Jay Cutler, QB, so far so good. Okay, as I mentioned on the top, Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports is going to be joining us today, and we have him on the phone right now. Jamie, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. How you doing?
Not too bad today. Now, Jamie, you're CBS Sports fantasy guru and grew up down in Fort Lauderdale, and I know you've been a fantasy football involved in fantasy football, at least as a player, and then now as a columnist for a while. How'd you get involved in fantasy sports, and how are things going for you right now at CBS Sports?
Things are going very well. We're actually off to a great start. Myself and Dave Richard, my fellow fantasy football writer here. I got involved with it, just fell into the position. I used to work for the Palm Beach Post covering the Dolphins, and the job was open, and I thought it was time to make a move, so I've been happy with it so far.
And the expertise that you had as a fantasy player obviously came into good use. Might as well make great use out of it, and certainly you are. Let's get right into some of the topics that we started talking about today, and we'll touch on some that relate to the Patriots because we're up here in New England, but certainly around the league. One of the major topics last week was at quarterback. Four teams going into week two were starting different quarterbacks than they entered week one with. That would be Matt Cassel, Brian Greasy, Damon Heward, and Kerry Collins. And we talked about it a little bit last week, looking ahead at the coming week. Now that we have 1 week behind us, none of them had, you know, I guess you would say breakout performances, and Damon Heward isn't even the quarterback anymore. After 1 week with some of these guys, who would you say has the best outlook for fantasy success overall this coming year?
Well, you know, I think it's definitely the guy that you have there. You know, when you're talking about throwing to guys like Randy Moss and Wes Welker, I think we'll see better games to come from Jabbar Gaffney, and also when Ben Watson is healthy. I think he's in line to be very solid. Obviously, he has a great matchup this week against Miami, and I think, you know, that's the best way to cure your passing woes is to face the Dolphins. You know, they've given up 33 passing touchdowns in their last 18 games. I think all of you guys remember what Randy Moss did against them last year, so... you know, I think Cassel would have been fine last week if Moss pulled in that deep ball, and, you know, he wasn't really asked to do a whole lot. Obviously, he was effective from a passing standpoint and from an NFL standpoint, so I think his fantasy value will continue to rise. You know, factor in Gus Frerotte also going to Minnesota now in terms of the new quarterbacks. I would obviously stay away from guys like Kerry Collins and the Tyler Thigpen, Damon Heward matchup there, or a combination there. But I think Frerotte is somebody that's worth keeping an eye on because there is some talent in Minnesota. Obviously, teams are going to be so concerned with the running game there with Adrian Peterson and Chester Taylor that when you see Bernard Berrien start to take his, you know, effect on the passing game, and then, you know, Sidney Rice is a nice player, I think Frerotte could eventually be a decent backup, you know, fantasy option for you, especially with the bye weeks coming in the next couple weeks.
And certainly when we're talking about some of these quarterbacks, a big component of it is who their weapons are and I guess what the teams are asking them to do. And you bring up with Cassel last week, you know, there was really only that one deep ball to Moss, and like you said, that would have changed the entire complexion, really, of how we thought of Moss and Cassel from a fantasy perspective last week. How important, as you're looking at some of these maybe waiver wire pickups, and let's throw in even guys like a Trent Edwards, who has been the starter for the first 2 weeks, but we really haven't realized exactly maybe what kind of breakout performance he might have. How important are the weapons that they have, whether it be a wide receiver, running back, or even the offensive line, when you're looking at these guys?
So I think the weapons, you know, play, if not the biggest factor, certainly a huge part of it. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers and the situation he stepped into. You know, Favre, 3 years prior to 2007, was really a bad quarterback from a statistical standpoint. And then, obviously, Greg Jennings emerges. They get James Jones in the draft. Donald Lee comes out of nowhere at tight end. And they get the, you know, running game support there, and even guys catching the ball in the backfield. And all of a sudden, Favre in 2007 has a tremendous year, and Rodgers just steps in and picks up right where they left off. You know, the system will play a part also. You know, you look at J.T. O'Sullivan in San Francisco getting Mike Martz as his offensive coordinator, and you'll see what he'll be able to do throughout the course of the year. Obviously, the matchups will play a big part of it as well. But, you know, look at what's going on around the league. Matt Hasselbeck, I don't think, has forgotten how to play quarterback, but all his receivers get hurt, and all of a sudden he's playing poorly. You know, Carson Palmer has no offensive line to speak of at this point, and he can't get the ball to very good receivers who, you know, he does have good players around him. So the whole offense itself really is going to dictate how a player does. But I think, you know, when you're looking at Cassel, for example, when he has those two guys to throw to, I mean, I think at some point, you know, if it's not this week, you know, in the coming weeks, it's just going to be drop back and just throw it up, close your eyes, and hope Randy Moss goes and gets it, and most of the time he will.
Exactly, and it looks like this week there may be some more another factor for the Patriots is at running back. They have a lot of depth, but Lawrence Maroney and Lamont Jordan both seem to be question marks because they haven't been at practice. And I look at the CBS Sportsline rankings, and I'm not sure if this is you in particular or you and some of your partners, but Matt Castle, number 9 going into this week. You have them ranked at quarterback, which sounds about right going against Miami. But boy, who would have ever thought that 2 weeks ago that we'd be talking about Matt Castle as a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 2008. It's pretty interesting how things change. Now, you mentioned Matt Hasselbeck and Carson Palmer just a moment ago, and I was going to bring them up as well. Where do they stand? I mean, is there hope for them for this year? Or if you were banking on Matt Hasselbeck or Carson Palmer as your fantasy quarterback, how worried do you have to be at this point?
Well, you have to be a little bit concerned, especially with the Bengals, because it seems like obviously they've had a tough start to their season with the teams that they face. Baltimore and Tennessee, two obviously of the better defenses in the NFL. It doesn't get much easier this week against the Giants. There is cause for concern, with when you look at Palmer, because Chad Johnson is not 100%. He's not going to be 100% all season with the torn labrum in his shoulder. So, if you have a receiver that can't use both of his arms,
right,
he can't exactly be as effective as you would expect. The offensive line is not good. They can't run the ball at this point because Chris Perry is averaging 2.6 yards per carry. But they'll have the matchups that at some point will get them some confidence. When they face Cleveland twice, they'll have those type of games where they'll be able to throw the ball and move the ball. But I think using Palmer as a number one option, as a sure lock every week, I don't think that's going to be there. And then the same thing with Hasselbeck. Obviously, he's going to get some guys back healthy. He's going to get Bobby Engram and Deion Branch back at some point. They're doing whatever they can to sort of help him at this point, bringing in, retreads like Corin Robinson and Kerry Colbert.
Mm.
I love John Carlson. I think he's going to be a great tight end. If you could grab him at this point, I definitely would do it because he's probably going to be their leading receiver this year. But it's going to be one of those things, looking at it going into the year, we try to tell people, be careful with these guys because of the injuries to the receivers and just because of the unrealistic expectations based on what they did a year ago and then throughout their careers. But, they've moved from almost surefire locks to backups, and you've seen guys like Jay Cutler and Phillip Rivers and even Aaron Rodgers now go from being drafted as backups to starters.
That's right. We're chatting with Jamie Eisenberg, senior fantasy writer from CBS Sports. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address if you have a question for Jamie or in general that we can get to later on in the show, 508-543-7482 if you'd like to chime in. Let's switch gears to running back and a couple of specific situations I want to ask you about, and I guess specifically as they relate to this week. Let's start with San Diego. LaDainian Tomlinson, who is a first, second, or third pick overall in most drafts, may have an injury situation. Darren Sproles came up last week. How would you assess the situation there, and is Tomlinson at 100% or less, or how worried should we be if you own LaDainian Tomlinson?
Well, I think you should be concerned. The troubling thing is if you don't own both running backs and you have to set your lineup on Sunday, there's a good chance he may not play. And
mm-hmm.
and I think, when you're talking about a guy like Tomlinson, the same thing with Adrian Peterson, who's also dealing with an injury, those are guys you roll the dice with, because unless they're absolutely ruled out, you got to figure they're going to play, especially with both teams being 0-2. You got to expect that, especially Tomlinson, Monday night game, he's going to go out there and do what he can to try and, help the team win. There definitely is a cause for concern with an injury like this. But the interesting thing about Tomlinson is, as much as people are saying, oh, no, he's lost a step, he's done, he has more total yards through two games this year than he did through two games last year. The problem is he hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Right.
But I think that will come. He's not going to be the elite player that we've come to expect, because he is 29 years old. He's getting to that point where running backs start to break down. He's 8 full seasons in the league, and that's a very bad red flag, because that's typically, again, the benchmark when guys start to get that wear and tear, and he is coming off his longest season ever playing in the AFC Championship game last year. So I think you'll see Tomlinson get to the point where he'll have that good stretch. If it's not this week, it's next week when he gets to play Oakland, and as you can imagine, he's probably going to have a good game there. But there is cause for concern this week, so I would say if you have both guys, make sure you check out whatever fantasy league you're part of. Certainly CBSSports.com will have the latest update before you have to set your lineup Monday night if you could still make the switch between Sproles and Tomlinson.
Well, staying in California, going north a little bit in Oakland, we've got Darren McFadden and Justin Fargus who are dealing with injuries. What's going on there?
It seems like Fargus is probably going to miss the game. That groin injury is pretty bad, and I think he may miss a couple of weeks. McFadden's going to be probably a game-time decision. He has turf, though. It seems like, obviously, the toe is a new injury for running backs this year.
Yeah.
I actually would not start McFadden this week. He obviously had a great game last week, played really well against a very bad Kansas City defense. Now he's got to go cross-country to play Buffalo, And the Bills defense, which I'm sure you guys are well aware of, much better this year than they were last year, adding Marcus Stroud, getting Paul Posluszny healthy. That run defense is good. They're only averaging about 92 yards rushing per game. And I think just the cross-country matchup, the toe injury, the fact that the Bills are good, I would stay away from McFadden. He's actually our sit of the week on CBSSports.com.
There you go. That's a very interesting point, going cross-country. And so for some of these rookies, and I want to transition to some of these other rookie running backs as well, we've seen some breakout games. I mean, Nat Forte in week one, Jonathan Stewart last week. And some of them, you know, like, well, if you look at Adrian Peterson last year, obviously, he strung together, you know, almost a dozen great starts. How much do you have to look at, you know, sort of the workload for rookie running backs, the schedule for rookie running backs, and just the general inconsistency that you might expect from an NFL rookie? And, you know, I mean, sure, Matt Forte is the regular starter for Chicago. Jonathan Stewart's in a little bit of a dual role. Is there a way to sort of in general, or do you have a philosophy in general with these rookie running backs on to make sure you don't completely rely on them, or can you rely on them?
Well, I think, you know, you're talking about some guys that have proven through two games that they can be reliable. I think it goes back to almost playing the matchups, though, depending on who they are facing and what's been going on with them. Like, for example, Stewart this week, I wouldn't use Stewart against the Vikings because the Vikings run defense is good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you'll see Stewart have to have the same success that he had last week just because of the opponent he's facing, although again, Chicago is very good. But the fact that he's on the road, Minnesota again 0-2 and a little bit hungry, and I think they're going to try and make a statement this week, especially making the quarterback change. Forte has another interesting, you know, matchup. Tampa Bay is very good against the run, but I like Forte this week from the standpoint of it's his first home game. You know, Chicago started out their two games on the road, and so I would still throw Forte in there. I would lower my expectations a little bit, but he is getting 23 carries a game, and you like to see the production as much for, you know, how much they're involved in the offense, and that's a big indicator. But the rookie that I think most people are almost overlooking, but has been tremendous, is Chris Johnson. You
know,
he's just been fantastic this year, and I think that's going to continue. He's really kept Landale White on the bench. You know, you'd like to see him get the touchdowns, but obviously you're going to go with the bigger back when they get toward the goal line in White. So I think Johnson, a guy who has another great matchup this week, and the guys, they're all going to be pretty close in terms of their production, you know, by the probably midpoint of the season. But I think I think Johnson has a chance this week against the Texans to sort of give himself a little bit of distance. He's going to be a guy to keep an eye on throughout the course of the year because he is a smaller back, and you don't know if he'll be able to take the pounding throughout the course of a full season. But so far, so good. He's playing that Reggie Bush type of role where he's catching the ball in the backfield, and I think he could be better than Bush was in his rookie season.
Absolutely. Very interesting stuff right there. And if we talk about wide receivers now for a bit, Brandon Marshall, who had just an enormous game the other day after a one-week absence, and I see he's number two on your list of wide receivers, but he has more issues, I think, off the field as well. And then you've got Steve Smith, who missed the first 2 weeks of the season and is back rejoining a Carolina team that has opened some eyes early on. Those two guys, what are your thoughts on those two guys as it stands right now, Brandon Marshall and Steve Smith?
You know, with Marshall, obviously the latest situation, I think at worst case scenario is going to go to trial maybe November or December, so he may have to miss some time. I don't think there'll be any more suspensions as a result of it unless there is a result, you know, in November or December, and he may have to miss the last couple of weeks, but that's just purely speculation. You know, I think when you look at Marshall, he has a chance to be the best receiver in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, the size is there, the speed is there, the talent is there. You know, you see him come back from a one-game suspension, and he's already leading the NFL in receptions. So, you know, I don't think you count on 18 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown every week, but he is going to be a candidate for 100-plus catches. He'll be over 1,000 yards, and he'll be in double digits in touchdowns. Jay Cutler, to me, is, you know, emerging as one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the NFL right now with the injury to Brady, with Peyton Manning's struggles. You know, I think he's in that conversation now with Drew Brees and Tony Romo. And if he can continue to play like this, obviously with the development of Marshall, he's going to be great. When you look at Smith, you know, we don't know exactly what we're going to get from him, but Carolina's 2-0. They're going to a situation now where they're going to have to throw, and you got to figure Smith is going to be in line for a decent game. So I think if you have him, you start him, and you definitely start Marshall.
Sure. How many fantasy football owners Monday night, around 10 o'clock Eastern time, fell to the ground and shrieked when DeSean Jackson dropped that ball, or placed that ball to the ground, essentially, ruining any chances for a 70-yard touchdown or whatever it was? You don't have DeSean Jackson on one of your teams, do you?
I think I'm in so many leagues. I think I have him in one league. But, you know, it's interesting because we all remember what happened with Brian Westbrook last year when he did the knee at Dallas as well. So something happens to the Eagles when they go to Dallas. So next year, whenever they play there, keep an eye on what happens.
And Westbrook this time was the beneficiary of that.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you're in a keeper league, you get a little bit of revenge with Westbrook. But obviously the difference being Westbrook was just doing the only thing Westbrook hurt. The only people Westbrook hurt was Westbrook owners.
Right.
DeSean Jackson's stupid flip hurt Donovan McNabb owners as well.
That's
so,
a great point.
He got robbed of a touchdown there. I think he's going to be a great player, but you hate to see stupid things like that.
Right, right. I'd like, before we let you go, talk about tight ends a little bit, because one of the topics we had last week, our first show of the year, we were talking about tight ends and how really it is a deep group this year, and you can certainly, if you don't have one of the top guys like Witten or Gates, you can certainly get by with some of these guys that are maybe a little down on the list, and some guys who have broken out this year like Anthony Fasano, and we saw what Dante Rosario did in week one. What are your thoughts at the tight end position and how deep it is, and who are a few guys maybe lower down on the list that you have your eye on as either waiver pickups or guys who are ready to break out?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I spoke to Jason Witten last week, and I just finished writing something that should be on the site tomorrow about tight ends. You know, I think you can look at some of these guys like Tony Scheffler, the start that he's off to, and he's somebody that we've targeted as a breakout player. A little bit of a concern coming into the year because of all the talk about him being benched for Nate Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out, and, you know, I think it was more a motivational ploy by Shanahan to sort of set the bar for what Scheffler can do, and I think he's living up to it. John Carlson, again, is another guy just because of the lack of receiving help that Matt Hasselbeck is getting.
Yep.
I think that Carlson could be very good this year. I like Owen Daniels a lot. I think he's in line to have a very good season. You know, I'm a little bit concerned now because of the distraction that they'll be dealing with from Hurricane Ike and the fact that they may not have a home game for the rest of the season. That could throw off what the Texans are able to do. But I think, you know, Daniels is really the number two receiving target for the Texans behind Andre Johnson.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned Anthony Fasano. You know, really disappointed in what he did in week two, especially coming off his week one performance. But I think he'll get back on track because, as you know, watching Chad Pennington, as I'm sure you have for the last couple of years, he doesn't throw the ball outside. He throws over the middle of the field. And obviously that favors the tight end. So I think Fasano will be good. You know, I like Dustin Keller. He's a nice young player, and I think once he gets on the field and gets enough playing time and they stop using guys like, you know, Chris Baker and
Bubba Franks,
Frank,
yeah.
You know, I think that Keller can make some strides as well, and we'll probably see what he has to offer by the end of the season.
All right, well, Jamie Eisenberg, you're a University of Florida guy, right?
Yes.
Who's the all-time best fantasy football player to come out of University of Florida?
Oh, it's Emmitt Smith, without question.
There you go.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Who's the best current NFL player? Out of
Ernest
Florida. What's that?
Ernest Graham.
Ernest Graham. There you go. That's right. I hadn't thought about him. Absolutely. Well, we thought around here that maybe Chad Jackson would be a fantasy football and an actual football stud, and we know what's happened there, and maybe he'll surface somewhere else. But he was a guy from Florida that, you know, one of, in that line of Florida wide receivers. You know, we have Jabbar Gaffney around here and had Rishay Caldwell, who didn't have a bad year in his one season here. But some of those Florida wideouts haven't exactly panned out, I guess.
Yeah, you got to figure that, you know, you say to Chad Jackson here, you could play with Tom Brady, go make something happen, and he can't do it. So that's disappointing.
That's right. All right, well, Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports, we greatly appreciate you taking some time, giving us some insight on what's to come in week three and beyond, and we hope to talk to you again soon down the line.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports, got some great insight from him, and if you haven't yet checked out his items on CBS Sports, great rankings that they have and a few other articles as well, and he mentioned a chat that he had with Jason Witten talking about the role of how tight ends are doing, are faring in fantasy sports, so you'll want to check that out as well. We've got a few emails we're going to get to. We want you to send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com, or check in at 508-543-7482. We're at about the halfway point of the fantasy lowdown, and we'll be right back right after this.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us, and we definitely want to hear from you. You play fantasy football, you got some questions on who to start or who to sit, and you heard from Jamie Eisenberg just a little while ago, who hopefully gave you some insight on some of the injuries that are coming up this week, and if you have Darren McFadden, what should you do? If you have LaDainian Tomlinson, what should you do? I happen to have LaDainian Tomlinson in one of my two leagues, and struggling with some decisions as we speak as we close in on Sunday. So we do want to hear from you, and we do have a few emailers that we're going to get to, and we'll chat about a few other topics. Let's hear right now from Strippers, who has a few questions for us, a very regular guy who chimes into Patriots.com radio. He's got a few questions here, and we're going to start with him at running back. Jonathan Stewart, the rookie from Carolina, who we talked about earlier, they're playing against Minnesota, or Kevin Smith, the rookie from Detroit, who's playing San Francisco. In my opinion, and that's it's a very good question, I kind of like Kevin Smith this week, and it's not that I don't like Jonathan Stewart this week. It's just that one of the questions that we were talking about that I asked Jamie was, how do we know about these rookies as far as consistency? Now, you can never be too sure about any player week to week, but I think that a guy like Jonathan Stewart had such a big game last week, going up against a difficult defense, stringing together these games week in and week out. It's rare that you get an Adrian Peterson who can do something like that. I would probably go with Kevin Smith in this particular week, although overall I like Jonathan Stewart a lot, maybe even more so than Smith. Roddy White versus Kansas City. or DeSean Jackson versus Pittsburgh? Well, we talked about DeSean Jackson, didn't we? And that was quite a situation he had. But you gotta say, for a rookie wide receiver, two straight big games to start his career. He's going up against Pittsburgh, which is a pretty good D, but he does have Donovan McNabb, whereas Roddy White has certainly a very inconsistent Matt Ryan going up against him. In all things being equal, I'd say DeSean Jackson for sure over Roddy White. I'd still say so in this particular week, but it's closer just because Roddy White is playing Kansas City, and that's not a great defense. Okay, Stripper says he can pick two running backs out of the following group of four. Jamal Lewis versus the Ravens. He, of course, is with Cleveland right now. Sammy Morris of the Patriots against the Dolphins. Jonathan Stewart against San Francisco. Darren Sproles against the Jets. If I had to say right now, it would probably be Sammy Morris. For sure, I think Sammy Morris is going to have a big week because when a guy on the Patriots, or two guys like Lawrence Maroney and Lamont Jordan, haven't practiced or at least missed part of practice through 2 days, and we're already at Thursday, and tomorrow would be their next chance to play. To practice. I think it's doubtful. I'm not sure what they're going to be listed at tomorrow, but there's a good chance those guys don't play, which would open the door to Sammy Morris, and I think it's going to be a big offensive weekend overall. And if LaDainian Tomlinson isn't playing, and maybe we'll know that, maybe we won't, then Darren Sproles for sure. Without LT, I say Morris and Sproles. If LT does play, I'd probably say Sammy Morris and Jamal Lewis. Okay, in a points per reception league, one of the PFW leagues, in fact, he can pick two of the following: Lendale White, Sammy Morris, Selvin Young, Fred Jackson. Boy, that's an interesting question, points per reception. We're talking about a couple of running backs here. I'd probably say that is a tough one. I wouldn't think Lendale White's going to be a big option. I think Sammy Morris might get you a couple of catches, but not many, because I think Matt Castle is going to have a lot of receptions to some of the wideouts this week. Selvin Young I do like against the Saints. I'd probably say Selvin Young is a good option, and I really do like Fred Jackson. I like Fred Jackson, and I think with Buffalo going up against Oakland, and he had a bunch of receptions last week, as Strippers points out, I'd feel pretty good there. If I had to rank them, I'd probably go Jackson, Young, Morris, White for this week. Also asking thoughts on Michael Bush, since word is McFadden is wearing a boot and Fargus is out. Certainly, if McFadden and Fargus are both out, Michael Bush would step right in. If only McFadden or Fargus doesn't play, then I'd say the one that does play is good guy to start, and Bush not so much. Webradio at Patriots.com. That's where we're where you can get in touch with us, and we can hear from you. Todd in Nova Scotia, below. What do you think? Jay Norwood, that would be Jarius Norwood, or F. Jones, Felix Jones, in a flex spot? Well, in this case, Jarius Norwood of Atlanta, they're going up against Kansas City. Felix Jones for Dallas. Dallas is playing. Who are they playing? Let me just pull up my my page right here. Dallas at Green Bay. That's a tough one. I don't love either one of them this week. If I had to go with one, I'd probably go Felix Jones, just because when in doubt, in my opinion, you go with a guy who's in the overall better offense. I mean, I think that not breaking any new ground there, but Felix Jones is certainly in the mix. And if Marion Barber is hobbled a little bit, we always are talking about these injured running backs. If Barber isn't at 100%, I like Felix Jones. Jarius Norwood, you know, Michael Turner has gotten the bulk of the load, and that offense overall isn't as fluid. I'd probably go with Felix Jones in this case. Another emailer here that we have is Todd. Another Todd. This one is in Jacksonville, Florida, not quite, just slightly south of Nova Scotia, I believe. Who should I start or sit for running back? We can choose two. Another guy who has four options here, choosing two. Joseph Addai, who, as Todd says, has been a disappointment thus far. Versus Jacksonville, Indy going up against Jacksonville. Chris Johnson, we talked about him with Jamie Eisenberg a little while ago. He's going up against Houston. Darren McFadden nursing his toe injury against Buffalo. Or Sammy Morris versus Miami. A lot of questions about Sammy Morris this week, and I bet if you check out different websites and they have their listings of, you know, the most widely searched players, I bet Sammy Morris has been big because he had a solid week in week one. Didn't have a great all-around week against the Jets the other day. In fact, he finished with 0 rushing yards on 7 carries, but he did have a touchdown. And now with the injury situation that we're dealing with, the running back that the Patriots are dealing with, this is a great question. I think those are some pretty good options. I would certainly say McFadden, of those four that you mentioned, is fourth. I would say Chris Johnson, of those four, is the best bet for this week going up against Houston. I have Joseph Addai on one of my teams, and I'm willing to be a little bit patient with Joseph Addai because I think soon enough that Indianapolis offense overall is going to round into shape when they get, especially when they get a few of their offensive linemen back. Whether or not this week against a tough Jacksonville team is a good question. If I had to make the decision right now, I would probably stick with Joseph Addai and Chris Johnson, but I could certainly make the case for Chris Johnson and Sammy Morris to be the two guys you start. I'm personally going to be patient with Joseph Addai, but this might not be a bad week to sit him as I think about it, and they're playing Jacksonville. For his second team, Todd says he can choose one running back out of the following two: Chris Johnson versus Houston or Ernest Graham versus Chicago. I'm all about Chris Johnson in that case. Thanks for the help, B-Low, is what Todd says. Always happy to help. All I can say is I hope it is help. I mean, you know, I love that people put their trust in me, and that's what we're here for, to throw some ideas around. But just don't come after me next week if I was wrong. That's what I have to say. We've got another question here. Oh, no, that's actually not for me. That's for PFW in Progress. But I might be able to answer it anyways. When is PFW in Progress going to be posted today? Well, Gary's not paying attention right now. So when is PFW in Progress going to be posted today? That's my fault reading that. I shouldn't have read that on the air, Gary. I'm new to this.
Playing Fred Kirsch.
I'm new to this, Gary. Being in this particular
seat. It was a
seat.
Technical issue.
Oh, boy.
And it will be posted shortly after 5 o'clock.
Shortly after 5 o'clock. So PFW in Progress loyalists, as I know there are many out there, including TSK in Boston, be a little patient. 5 o'clock, and we'll get that over to you.
And the webmaster wanted people to know that it wasn't his fault. It was actually mine. And
what a big – you know what? Cheers for Gary Gudecki admitting it publicly, admitting a mistake like that publicly. A lot of balls in the air today. I mean, you know, you know – that's okay. We can, you know, and if you miss the PFW guys today, don't worry. You'll get them eventually. And, you know, why you'd want to, you know, why you need to rush to listen to them, I don't know. I hear them all the time. You can skip that. But hey, we appreciate you checking in on that, and you'll be able to listen to Fred Kirsch and the boys soon enough.
I got
to
tell you though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
Eric Scalavino as well. We can get Eric Scalavino talk as well. Web radio at Patriots.com. This is the Fantasy Lowdown, and we want to hear your fantasy thoughts, fantasy football thoughts. What do you think of guys coming up this week? What are your injury concerns on your team? Check in with us, web radio at Patriots.com. We're here every Thursday from 4 to 5. One of the websites and one of the fantasy gurus around the country that you certainly have to pay attention to and check out if you have some questions, that would be Matthew Berry at ESPN.com, and he has an interesting column every week, TRUM, thoughts, ramblings, useless information, and musings. And some of the interesting thoughts that he had this week is 10 guys you can freak out about. That's his call. That's a list that he has. 10 guys you can freak out about. Number one on that list is Carson Palmer, and quarterback of Cincinnati, and he's a guy that I have on my team, on one of my teams, and I am definitely worried about him. I have Carson Palmer and I have David Garrard, and that's Matthew Berry's number one guy to freak out about this week. And another one on the list at quarterback is Jeff Garcia. I say for sure, Jeff Garcia. Don't worry about him. I don't think he's going to be quarterbacking anyone this year. If anything, he'll be on the roster with Tampa and backing up Brian Greasy. But more interesting to me on the guys to freak out about are the running backs. Larry Johnson. I lucked out 4 or 5 years ago. I had Larry Johnson. I took a flyer on Larry Johnson. I don't remember if it was 04 or 05. I think it was 04 when Priest Holmes was still the number one guy there. But I said, yeah, you know what? Let's go for a backup like Larry Johnson. Maybe, you know, he's a first-round pick. Maybe he gets a chance. And boy, did I luck out there. Had him in a keeper league for a couple years. But things have changed, and he's the number two guy that Matthew Berry has on guys you can freak out about. And another one down the list, number five, is Edgerrin James. The name Tim Hightower has come into fantasy focus over the last couple of weeks. He's he doesn't have tons of yardage, but he definitely has scored touchdowns for Arizona. And Edgerrin James is another one of those veteran running backs who's on the decline. And Lawrence Maroney, number six on guys you can freak out about. Now, I'm not sure if he wrote this before or after there was an injury disclosure. Well, I guess the disclosure of the injury for Maroney was during the game, but now he hasn't practiced for a couple weeks. So definitely some worrisome moments there for Matthew Berry and other fantasy owners. Dan Tugender is joining us now, as he will, I hope, unless he gets sick of me and sick of talking about fantasy every towards the end of our show every week.
I can never get sick of you.
Well, not me. I mean, who could? But I mean, the fantasy topic.
Yeah, I got you.
I got you.
What about
you got
Ronnie
me.
Brown on that list?
Oof. Well, Ronnie Brown. Well, Ronnie Brown is definitely an interesting one. I don't know if I'd touch Ronnie Brown or Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
The duo in Miami. First of all, it seems like they're going to be roughly equal number of carries each week. So right there, you've got a dilemma because, you know, if you have one, can you start him? Can you focus on him? And, you know, I'm sure over the course of 16 games, they'll each have one or two breakout performances, but how do you know? How do you know going into the week? If it's going to be this week, I don't think it's going to be this particular week.
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't count on either one of them this year. But that's a good question. Do you have Ronnie Brown on your team?
I do have Ronnie Brown.
Yeah, and tough. Tough if you have anyone in the Miami offense, yeah. I think, so far. They've scored 24 points total in two games.
They got Teddy Ginn, too, so it's not working out too well.
Oh, not very good, not very good. Dan, we do have a few more emails here, including one from South America, and we're gonna talk about this right now. Greeting, my name is Maximiliano Rodriguez from Montevideo, Uruguay, South America. Not bad. Not bad, huh?
You know I don't speak Spanish.
In English, please.
No, that's a Spanish word, no. I don't. I have Maurice Jones-Drew, Lawrence Maroney, and Detroit rookie running back. That would be Kevin Smith. Which should I sit? Now, if we're assuming that of those three, Maximiliano can start two of the three, Maurice Jones-Drew, Lawrence Maroney, and Kevin Smith. Right now, as of right now, there's not much of a decision. Maroney and Maximiliano, I'm happy to inform you. I'm not happy that Lawrence Maroney is injured per se, but if you didn't know about that injury, I'm happy that you emailed in and maybe can get some insight on that. Not saying for sure that he's not going to play. I mean, we don't know, but in my opinion and my experiences, when a guy on the Patriots doesn't practice for the first 2 days of the week, and certainly if he doesn't practice tomorrow or if he's limited, that certainly calls into question. And if a guy's injured and you're going up against Miami this week and then you have a bye, maybe you give the guy a couple weeks of rest.
Plus the fact that they bring back Kyle Echol, so now they have six running backs on the roster.
Yes.
I mean,
bringing back Kyle Echol is a sign that Lawrence Maroney and also Lamont Jordan, who had a big week last week, that one or both
possibly
could be out. So, the focus goes directly on Sammy Morris, I'd say number one as far as Patriots running back fantasy options. Kevin Falk, I mean, obviously his value to the Patriots is far superior than his fantasy value. I think he's definitely in that category, not a guy you'd want to rely on. Heath Evans, back when they signed him 3 years ago, it's hard to believe he's been around that long. His first game was against Miami, and I'm pretty sure he topped 100 yards and had a touchdown, like matching his entire career totals. You can't necessarily count on that.
Heath Evans, 100-yard rush, that's funny to say.
Can you believe that?
He had,
was it two in a row maybe? Or he had two big weeks in a row, and I think one was 100 yards. Hard to imagine, and I mentioned with Jamie Eisenberg earlier, can you imagine that Matt Castle, could you have ever pictured Matt Castle being ninth on quarterback rankings for fantasy going into a given
week? Below, I told you, your advice last week. I took Matt Castle, 163 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, but put up some decent points for me.
You know what? You could do a lot worse. You could do a lot worse.
I had just said before, the two other quarterbacks on my roster, David Garrard and Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
so
tough.
Neither of those guys put up any numbers better than Matt Castle.
And if you have Palmer, Garrard, and Castle, going forward over the course of the season, I'd say Garrard is the one that I'd feel least confident about going forward. I still think that Carson Palmer things could evolve with that team, and maybe as bad and embarrassing as they've been the first 2 weeks, that Carson Palmer could still emerge.
But I can't see them turning around this week either.
I can't see
Carson Palmer having a big week against
the Giants. I don't think so. And I personally think Matt Castle has a pretty big week. I don't think they're all going to be pretty big. I think this time against Miami, I think Moss, Welker, and Castle are all pretty good fantasy options. We've got an email here. This is from Todd. Thanks for your opinion regarding the backs I have and if they flame out this week. Todd had an email earlier. Anyways, pick two wide receivers out of this group of three. Receptions are not rewarded, so it's really only yardage and touchdowns, I guess, on these two. We've got Ocho Stinko, as Todd calls him. I guess you can call Chad, the guy named Chad on the Bengals. You could call him Chad Johnson if you want. Technically, his name is Chad Ocho Stinko. But if you really want to be, go overboard, it's Chad Ocho Stinko against the Giants. And we just talked about Carson Palmer, and we're not too confident in him.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
There you go, another example of that. Ocho Stinko versus the Giants.
Bilingual show today.
Kevin Walter against Tennessee. Vincent Jackson against the Jets. I'm not wild about any of them. I'd say Vincent Jackson to me would be number one option. Kevin Walter doesn't excite me going up against a good defense in Tennessee. And Ocho Stinko, you'd have to put in the same category as his quarterback. Guys who, hey, let's be honest, they've had good careers and they've done a lot. There's still a chance that they can still have big years. If you've got to pick two of those three, I personally am going Vincent Jackson and Chad Ochocinco.
I don't think it matters. I think you're losing this week.
You're probably not doing well. If your quarterbacks, if you start two quarterbacks and they're Tony Romo and Donovan McNabb, maybe you have a chance. And if your running backs, are at the top of the list, Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore and Brian Westbrook, you're fine. Tough decisions there. A tight end question as well from Todd. Let me get back to this one. I have tight end Todd Heap and the possibility of picking up Heath Miller or Kevin Boss off the waiver wire. Would you drop Heap, who is nursing an injury, for either of these guys? Well, that's an interesting point. You never, it's always tough to hang on to guys who are on again, off again with injuries. Now, a lot of it, too, I guess, would depend on bye weeks, which we're getting into next week. And, right. And you know, if you don't want to have be stuck with having only one tight end with a bye. Heath Miller or Kevin Boss, if you're going to pick up one, I'd probably go Heath Miller.
I'd go Heath Miller, too.
I'd go Heath Miller. I think he's a little more proven, and I like Kevin Boss's, the chances that he has some upside, more so as an NFL player than as a fantasy player. I think the jury's out on him there, but I wouldn't go crazy in trying to cut Todd Heap just yet. I think you can hang on to Todd Heap, but you might want to bring on a second tight end if you can, because bye weeks are something, you have the luxury over the first 3 weeks. You don't have to worry about that. Between weeks 4 and week 10, you've got bye weeks. We'll talk about that next week a little bit. And there are actually 6 teams, including our hometown New England Patriots, Dan, who have the bye week, which means vacation for you.
Yeah.
And get, no? Vacation?
Well, vacation,
for
absolutely.
You? Yeah, there you go. I threw that in there. I thought maybe you'd liven up.
Getting back again. Thanks, Gary. Getting back to the Todd Heap question, though, you're not, the quarterback situation they have there, you're not sure, who's going to be in there. I saw an article last week about, what's his name? Heisman Trophy winner, Troy Smith.
Yes.
Did he win
yes.
Troy Smith?
He did.
Troy Smith possibly getting back at some point this year. Joe Flacco won that game in week one, but you don't know, if he's going to have a connection there with Todd Heap.
Yep.
or what kind of impact Todd Heap will be able to make once he gets back from this injury.
Yeah, and one of the topics with Jamie Eisenberg that I brought up was, with quarterbacks especially, it obviously is important to know who their weapons are, but where does that rank in the import, in the level of importance as you're trying to make decisions? And obviously it is. And it goes the other way. If you have a tight end who is on a team that has an overall poor offense, not a great quarterback, I guess on the one hand, maybe the tight end is kind of the security blanket sort of thing. And
especially
he's
a big guy like Todd Heap, that's a proven tight end in this league.
No question. And if he's a proven tight end who can get open in the end zone, it sometimes doesn't even matter if your quarterback has a great arm. If you're on the goal line and your quarterback's going to, find you, go sure. for it. You're going to want to have a guy like that. These tight end questions are always difficult because tight end is, that's more of a game plan thing a lot of times, and you don't know NFL game plans. It's hard to tell, who's going to have a breakout game at fantasy. We just got another email from Maximiliano. Laughing out loud, thanks for your answer. If you want, I can help you with Spanish, and you can help me with fantasy. Just joking, he said.
Buenas noches, amigos.
But joking, Maximiliano says, but Jerry Remy and I might take you up on that. Maybe between the three of us, we can help each other with our questions with language and with fantasy. We'll see about that. Dan, what's the biggest question mark on your fantasy team this week? What are you wrestling with right now?
Ah, oh, man.
I can tell you one of the ones that I have. I have Joseph Addai. I just traded for Michael Turner, and I have Selvin Young. And Addai, I'm definitely sticking with him because when you have a top guy like that and one of your top picks, I feel like unless he's going to be out, you've got to be a little patient and stick with him. So I've got Joseph Addai and Michael Turner in there and keeping Selvin Young on the bench. But it's only one more week before I'm going to start saying, is Joseph Addai my automatic start? Anything you're wrestling with right now or I put you on the spot there?
The only thing, my bench is pretty horrible, so there's nobody in me.
No, there are no options
out there. The only thing, I'm not even sure who they're playing, but Denver defense or Tennessee defense this week?
Well, Tennessee defense, I think, is almost a must start at this point.
And They've been on fire.
Right, and they're playing Houston. And then, what'd you say, Denver?
Denver
hosting New Orleans. Right. I definitely would go with Tennessee this time.
I'm feeling pretty good this week, B-Lo.
Yeah, New Orleans offense is pretty good. Denver defense, they gave up a lot of points to San Diego.
Tennessee, like you just said, has been unstoppable. Well,
Tennessee's D.
Very stoppable. You know,
they've
shunned down the offenses of the opposing team. So.
Exactly. All right, Dan. Hey, great batting around a few ideas with you. As always, we'll keep this up each week. My thanks to Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports. Make sure you check him out as you're setting your lineups this week. We got some great insight from him. And, of course, all your emails, we want to keep them coming. You can email at any point during the week, in fact, and they will be in the inbox when I take this chair on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, webradio@patriots.com. And we definitely want to hear from you. This is your forum to bat around your ideas and give me your questions on who to start, who to sit. We will be back next Thursday at 4 o'clock after we have now 3 weeks of NFL action to analyze and dissect. We'll talk to you then. Keep the emails coming here on the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.
We're available. This can be heard in Spanish by selecting the SAP button on your remote.